All right, this is number 54 in the series. We're coming to the end of Shmuel Beis. I think there's just one other shiur in Shmuel Beis that we'll get to down the road. This one's entitled Settling Scores, the Givonim, David HaMelech and Givonim. So it's a very strange, bizarre, even macabre incident that's very difficult to understand. It requires first the recollection of two events. One we discussed in Sefer Yoshua, and that is the Treaty of Givon and Yoshua. So you'll recall that the people of Givon, they were given the same offer that everyone else was given, but they deceived Yoshua, pretended to be a foreign tribe, but just wanted to enact a covenant with Yoshua. And in fact, Yoshua was misled and agreed with them not to harass them, and they could stay wherever they were living, which he thought was outside of Israel. When it turned out that they were in Israel, and the Givonim, of course, were part of the Amori, one of the Canaanite tribes that had to be either destroyed or expelled, then Yeshua was stuck. And because of Chil Hashem, having entered into the agreement, he decided to honor it, despite the objections of some, and to put the Givonim to work in the Mishkan. And that became their task, hoping thereby that over time they would become a full part of the Jewish people, being near, in the proximity of the holy environment of the Mishkan. In that capacity, serving the Mishkan, they became embroiled in another story, and Shaul HaMelech and Nov Ir HaKohanim. So many of the Givonim lived in Nov where the Mishkan was, and Shaul pursued David, who had taken refuge and received provisions from the Kohanim in Nov. And so Shaul ordered Nov Ir HaKohanim destroyed, the Kohanim killed, and the Givonim also. So some of them were either killed, or some of them, or they just lost their parnasa, because the Kohanim, who had been supporting them, were now gone, deceased. This incident, which we'll discuss now, beginning in Perek Chof Aleph and Shmuel Beis, it's machlokas when it happened. Some say it happened shortly thereafter, the beginning of David's reign. Others say it happened at the end of David's reign, meaning the Abarbanel says it happened after all these other stories with Amnon and Avshalom, etc. We don't know, and it doesn't matter, but there comes a time where the following takes place. And of course, the situation with Givon that Yoshua tried to resolve was not fully resolved. And it recalls a very old problem, which is a very modern problem as well. What do you do with an indigenous population that is either hostile to the majority population, or that just is reflect a different culture, and therefore they are not, there's no homogeneity in the society, but there's an element that is not necessarily supportive of the goals or the values of the host population. So how do you handle them? The Givonim, it's hard to say whether they're more like the Palestinians today or they're really more like the Russians today. Both, they're really elements of both. One is a foreign tribe that are not Jews, and they have different interests, different values. And their existence is antithetical, or the nationalistic ambitions are antithetical to those of the Jews. Or like the Russians, a great many of them are not Jewish, but they want to be Jewish, they participate in a superficial Jewish society, but they're really not. And because of that, there's tension in society. How to deal with them, how Jewish to treat them. They are the focal point of the distinction between an Israeli and a Jew, because they're one, but maybe not the other. So the Givonim really represent our first foray into that situation. So let's see. The Navi says in number one, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Ra'ov b'mei David shalosh shanim, shana harei shana. It was a famine in the time of David, 3 years, three consecutive years. Vayevakesh David espnei Hashem. And David sought out Hashem, meaning we'll see, he asked of the Urim V'Tumim to find out exactly what it was. So David clearly knew that all that was happening was attributable to sin, but in order to rectify it, you have to know what the sin is. The Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Ches, Simon Dalet, number 4, Vahir Rabbi Me David, Mal Shana Chere Shana, what does it mean year after year? Melamed Shahayu Gimel Shana Mitzufos. There were three consecutive years. I should say the Shir is sponsored again by Ethan Kaiser, Ethan and Melissa, Yidishmas, Ethan's grandfather, Ben Kaiser, Ben Sion, Ben Shlomo. Yidishmas, Tzuba Tzorachai. The Melamed Shahayu Gimel Shana Mitzufos. The three consecutive years, Shira David says, "Still Haraov Lavo Biyamov." When he saw the famine first coming, Amari said, "Bavon Chamisha Dvarim Hagesham Einam Yardim." It's not raining for five reasons. One is all the old staples: Avodah Zarah, Gilaroyos, Shvichus Damim, so idolatry, sexual morality, homicide, Posketz Zdaka Beravim Ve'Einam Nosdim. People pledge money in public and then don't redeem it, don't give it. Uvavon she'ena nosim ma'isrosechem kitikunon. And those people don't give their ma'isros as they should. That's the Medrash. The Radak, in number 5, says that yesh lishom if ne'ma lo bikesh ha'ashana shlishes. Why do you wait 3 years? Why not in the first year? So he says, Rav Sajigon explains, shana rishona choshav mikrehu, kederach olam. The first year there was a drought. He thought, no, it happens sometimes. Droughts come. Shniya choshav ki ba'avon pesal micha hoyo. U'bi'er kol ma'asher motzo kishahoyo. U'bi'er kol ma'asher motzo. He thought maybe it's idolatry, the primary sin. Still a remnant of the lingering effects of the pesal micha. But then he saw that the famine still did not stop. By the third year, he knew there was something else. Couldn't quite identify it. He sought the answer from the Urim V'Tumim, and what he found, I'm sure to us as well, to him certainly, was a surprise. So the pasuk continues. Vayomer Hashem, so God said to David, through the auspices of the Urim V'Tumim, El Shaul, that the famine has come because of Shaul and his bloody house, and that he killed the Givonim. That's why the famine has come. Rashi says, number 2, El Shaul, Alavon Shaul. So three separate sins here, or at least two separate sins. Avon Shaul, Shenikbar Pison Behechovei, Shaul was buried suddenly after he died in battle. Sheganavu Anshe Yavesh Giladu Kvaru Blonis Padu Kichvoda. That Shaul was killed and buried quickly, and his body, in fact, was taken away by the men of Yavesh Gilad, and he wasn't eulogized properly. Vel Beis Hadamim Sheharag Nov Irakonim. He killed Nov Irakonim. So strange, of course, we'll see the Mefarshim point out, but on the one hand, Shaul is lauded. David is criticized for not eulogizing him properly. But by the same token, Shaul is criticized. And the punishment here is still coming to the Jewish people for his sin. Alasher heimisis hagivonim, Rashi continues, kishaharag no virakonim, heimis mehem sheva. He killed sheva. He killed 7 givonim as well. Shnei chotvei tzim, u'shnei shavei mayim, v'shamosh v'chazen v'sofer. He killed 7 givonim. The givonim were charged by Yoshua with being the woodchuckers and the water carriers. So he killed there 2 woodchuckers, 2 water carriers. He killed the shamis, the chazen, which is the gabbai, the charity collector, and the sofer. 7 givonim. Kach mefurash v'gemar yushalmas b'sanhedrin. So some say actually killed. Others, Rav Aseinu Amru, mitoch shaharga sakonim, shema speaking lehem mazon, because Shaul killed the Kohanim. who sustained them with provisions. Helol of Akosov Gilu Hemisom. So the Tanakh construes it as if he actually killed them. Don't be surprised that God is avenging their honor, his and theirs. Shekach kosov asher mishpato paolo, he quotes the Gemara now, that his mishpat is together with his deeds. Vasher mishpato sham paolo, tach shenu biyavamos. So we'll get to the Gemara in a few moments, but there's mishpat and there's pi'ulah. The pu'ulah are the good deeds a person does. So for those good deeds, shall deserve praise, proper eulogy. But there's also mishpat. There has to be justice for what he did, which was improper. Now, if you look at the Malbim in number 6, the Malbim says, Haksuvim morim kefim ashekosur b'sadja, and after him, asar Yitzhak Abarbanel, pitosefes dvarim. Ki eis harak sholas novi arkanim, nimtu shama gamin argivonim v'nergu imahem. He said, the first opinion Rashi had, that he killed some of the givonim who were there as well. The Yomer Morena of Yitzhak Abarbanel, ki shol nenash b'shlosha anoshim. Shol was punished for three things. One, because he didn't obey God's word in Gilgal, that his malchus would not continue. Second, he in his compassion allowed Agag to live. And third, he killed Nov Irakonin. V'alshe Yisrael, so for that, lo nikbar v'nispat tarui. V'alshe Yisrael lo michu b'yado nergram rab Yisrael imo. Because the Jews did not try to stop him, many were killed when Shaul was killed. But Shaul received his punishment for all that. But al harega sagivonim lo nifka b'chayav. For killing the givonim, that he did not receive any punishment for. Lefisha lo haisa harigasam chamur kokach, because people did not feel that their deaths were so horrific. No virkonim, so that made an impression on people. But the fact that some givonim were killed, that's what we call today collateral damage. It's collateral, except if you're the damage, but it's not so collateral. The nifkar acharmosa bevonav aktanav bevnei pilagsho. So here the Jews were punished. The whole nation was punished with the famine. And the onesh that Shaul would receive for killing the Givonim, so that comes into play right now. That's what happens now. Now if you look at number 7, so that's the Gemara Yevama Saf Ein Chesam and Beis. And we'll quote from the Gemara extensively today. Omer of Chana Varado. Nisinim, the Nisinim of the Givonim. We know, by the end of the story, that you can't marry a Nisin. It's one of in the Yichusa Yisrael, a Nisin is similar to a Mamzer, can't marry a Jew. But that only came about because of David. Nisinim David goes our Layam, Shenema, Vaikar Melech la Givonim, Vaigavonim, Lomibne Yisrael Haim, they weren't Jews. So might time a Gazar Elayu? Another Gemara starts the story we just discussed. The Chsiv Vayira b'mei David Shalosh Shom Shana Hashana. Shonri Shana Mar Lohem, the first year of the famine, he said to them, Shema Ovdei Vodas Kachav Miyesh Bachem. The Chsiv Vavatim Elohim Achir Mishach Vizem Lohem V'Otzar Asa Shema V'Loim Ator, the Pasuk from Vayam Shema, that we know when a drought comes, it's a result of our sins. Vod Kuvel Omatsu, so there's no idolatry. Shni Amar Lohem Shema Ovra Veri Yesh Bachem. Maybe there's some immorality, because that also generates a stoppage of rainfall. Tichsiv, Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Vayimanu revivim makosh lo haya, umetach isha zono haya lecha. You had the forehead, really, the isha zono was prominent, and so the rain stopped. Vodku v'lo matzu, they found there's no avodas kachavim, and there's no arayos. Shlisha samar lohem, Shema poskei tzedaka b'rav meish b'chem ve'nosim. Maybe their people pledge money publicly and don't fulfill their vows. Dichsiv nisiyim v'ruach v'geshem ayin. That when there's a vapor and wind and no rain, Ish mishalel b'mata sheker. It must be because of the person boasting about his false giving. So that's really the mashal. It's very accurate. There's no rain, but you know it's very cloudy. There's a lot of wind. So you expect rain. So what's a lot of wind? Ish mishalel. A person boasting how much money he'll give from tzedakah, but he doesn't give it. But kuvelo matzu. They found it's also it wasn't true in their generation. Amar ein adavar toli ela bi. David said, it's up to me. Dependent on me. Miyad by evakesh David is pnei Hashem. So David went to inquire of the Urim Tumim. Mayi Amr Shlakish Hashab Urim Tumim. My mashma. So that's the proof. By evakesh David is pnei Hashem, and the Urim Tumim lifnei Hashem. So that's what he went to find out exactly what happened. He was told. 8. The Gemara continues. Vayomer Hashem El Shaul Vel Beis Adamim Al Asher Hamitzva Givonim El Shaul Shlo Nispat Talocha. That's the first thing he was told. Why is there a famine? Because he didn't pay Shaul HaMelech the proper respect. Amazing if you think about it. Shaul tried to kill him, and he had all these problems, and he was driven out of the Malchus, and yet, for the good that he did, he deserves the eulogy. Vayomer Beis Adamim Al Asher Hamitzva Givonim, because he put the Givonim to death. Where do we see they actually kill the Givonim? Elamitoch Sheharag Nov Irakanim. Shema speaking the Maimu Mazon, Milo Vakosov Kilu Haragon. So just like Rashi said, Rashi quotes the Gemara. Because Shaul killed Nov, the city of the Kanim, and they were supporting, nourishing the Givonim, so it's as if you kill them. You take away someone's parnasa, it's like you've killed them. Kotova Shaul, Kotova El Shaul, so here's the paradox the Gemara asks. They're critical. They're punished because they didn't eulogize properly Shaul, who killed people innocently. It's best just to put them away, not say too much. In exactly so. Damar Rish Lakish, my dechsiv, the pasuk in Tzvanya. Bakshu al Hashem kol anvei oretz. All the meek should seek out God. Asher mishpato pa'alo, his judgment is his work. Asher mishpato sham pa'alo, where you see God's judgment, you see the work as well. And that's what happened here. Amar David. So David says, Shaul nafkulu treso yarche shasa lo darche lu mispadei. Shaul's already gone at least 12 months. It's not proper to eulogize someone after 12 months. Because then you just recollect their suffering. After 12 months, people find some nechama. So you will drive after 12 months or just awaken the sadness again. And it was well after 12 months now. So what did he do? Vayikra melcho givonim. So now let's go back to the psukim in number one. Vayikra melcho givonim. So once he realized that the problem lay in the treatment of the givonim, he called them to try to make amends. Vayikra melcho givonim vayomer alehem, it's pasuk beis. He called the givonim, the king, and said to them exactly what it was. Background, by givonim lo mibnei Yisrael hema. They weren't the native-born Jews. Ki miyeser hemori. They were the remnant of the Amori. Uvnei Yisrael nishgulahem. The Jews had sworn to them in Yeshua's time. And nonetheless, by vakei shol hakosam, Shol tried to kill them, to smite them, in his zeal for the children of Israel and Yehuda. Why exactly did he do this? So Rashi says in 3, we'll read all the Rashis. Vayomar Alehem, David brought them in to speak them divrei ritzui, trying to pacify them. Sheyavru midoseyem v'yimchu l'shol l'beiso, that they should overlook the wrong done to them, and it was a heinous wrong, and they should forgive Shaul's household. And now Rashi says, the Pasuk tells us the Givonim were not Jews. Klomar, Vehein Harut Batzm Midas Achzorius, Shainam Izar Shal Avram Avinu. They displayed a certain cruelty, a penchant for violence, that is not a Jewish characteristic, as we'll see. Vehein Aruim Lidavik B'Yisrael. They're unfit to cleave to the Jewish people. Ulakach Gazar Aleim David Shal Yavo B'Kol. David therefore decreed they should not enter the congregation of Israel, and they can't marry. Omar, he said, we'll get to the Gemara as well, Shlosha Simonim Yesh Bumazov. Jews have three characteristics. Rachmonim, Baishonim, Vegomech Hasodim. We're merciful, we're shy, and we're bestowers of kindness. Nisha Yesh Bo Gimel Simonim Halalu, Ro'ili Dovek Bo. A person who has these three traits, So you should cleave to such a person. In fact, that's from the Gemara Yevamos of Ein Ches Amid Beis. And that's how the Gemara continues. That Mithayes were three lines in the first paragraph in number 8. Velo Paisinu, he tried to pacify them, but they were not pacified. They were out for blood. So David is one who said this. Amar, Shlosha Simonim Yesh B'Umazo. There are three signs of a Jew. Rachmanim V'Abayshonim V'Gomle Chasonim. Kol Sheyesh B'Shlosha Simon Halolu Roili Davik V'Umazo. Anyone who has these three traits can become a Jew. And conversely, one who lacks one of these three traits, so he really doubts whether he's of Jewish blood. The Gemara says in Beitza, I think, Daf Lamed Hey, that a person who is cruel, biyadua she'enu mizar shel Avram Avinu, he can't be a Ben Avram. The traits that the Jewish people are known for. So, we know that we had taken an oath not to harm the Givonim, Bimei Yoshua, Rashi says, but Shaul violated that oath, but Kanosol of Nei Yisrael, Besito Lev Linakos Ulataheres Yisrael, Velasa Tzarchem, Bikesh Lahargam. When Shaul wanted to purify, wanted to cleanse the Jewish people, so one of the ways his intention was to rid our nation of the Givonim, who were a deleterious influence on the Jewish people. Vikinozola Tova. The kino has meant positively. Nonetheless, it was wrong to do because of the bris. Zeb Shuto. Ulefi midrasha lo omar laharog elasakonim. The medrash says he intended that only the konim should die. The kino zo amura kan ain latova, and kino here is not positive but negative. Skim lara. Sheyada shalotim shoch malchuso miyom shal sham mitzvah sakadosh baruch hu ba'amalek umeoz niskani bohem. From the time that God turned against him, so then Shaul had a bitterness within him, as we've discussed very, very many times, and that was the kina that he had. He had a burning rage that he could never quite overcome. So, what exactly happened? The people refused to be pacified. Let's go back to the text, number one. Vayomer David al Givonim, Mo Selochem, what do you want? What can I do for you? How can I atone for this sin? We should bless the heritage of God. You think back, beautiful pasuk, Baruchus Nachas Hashem. What do we want from the Givonim? What we want from every non-Jew? They should be Mekadesh Hashem. They should recognize through the Jewish people the greatness of God. If Yoshua had vitiated their covenant, it would have been Chil Hashem. The fact we drew them in was a Kiddush Hashem. Now what? The Givonim said, "Ein lanu kesev izavim shovim beisa. We have no claim of silver, gold. We don't want any money, no reparations. We can't be bought off. Vein lanu ishlamis beYisrael. And there's no person in Israel that we want to put to death because they're innocent. We only want justice, if not vengeance, against the perpetrators." Vayomer, so David said, "Mo'atem omrim eselachem. What do you want? I'll do for you." They said to the king, the person who killed us, the person who plotted against us, the one who wanted us to be eliminated from living within the land of Israel, Shaul HaMelech, yutan lanu shiva nashim mibanov, give us then seven of his offspring, and we'll hang them, Begivat Shaul, in the valley of Shaul. I'm sorry, in the hill of Shaul, the chosen one of God. Give seven members of his family to be hanged. Vayomer Amelech, ani atein, and the king said, "I'll do it." The king had mercy on Mephibosheth because he made a separate promise to Yonasan. So who did he take? He took seven of Shaul's sons. Hard to understand. It's a very strange story. Hard to understand. He took the two sons of Ritzpa Basayah, Sheyodol Shaul. As Armoni and Mephibosheth, Armoni, and he also had a son in Mephibosheth. Veschameshes bnei Michal Ba'shaul, Asher Yoldola Adriel ben Barzillai Micholati. And the five sons of Michal Ba'shaul. Right, so the Gemara says she actually didn't give birth to them. Merav gave birth to them, but she raised them, so that she's considered their mother. He took these seven. Vayetneim b'yad ha-givonim. He gave them over to the givonim. Vayokium b'har l'fnei Hashem. Vayeplu shvatem yachad. They hang them in the mountain before God, all seven of them together. Vehema hum subi me katsir berishonim bitchilas katsir sarim. And they were all killed during the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of the harvest. Very strange story. So how do we come to this? I mean, how do we understand it? What in fact is the justification for it? Moasa. Now, obviously, they had to be pacified somehow, because they could have been a source of instability in the kingdom. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, look at the Gemara again in Yevamos. It's number 8. It's now Daf Ayin Testament Aleph. Vayikach ha-melech ha-shnei v'nei ritzvah ba-saya she'elo l'sha'ul es amani and all the others. Maishnohani, what's the difference with these? How were they designated? Amrav Huna he'evirum l'fnei Aron. He passed them before the Aron HaKodesh. Kol Sharon Kolto L'Misa. Whomever of Shaul's descendants were detained by the Aron, so they were put to death. Kol She'ein Aron Kolto, whoever was not detained, L'Chaim, they could live. Meaning, in the simplest sense, that the Hashgacha decreed who would live and who would die. If the Hashgacha is decreeing who lives and who dies, the only ones who are dying are the ones who are guilty. The ones who were in fact involved in the massacre of the Givonim. So then the Gemara asks, if that's so, how could the king have had Rachmanas on Mephibosheth? If he's guilty, he's guilty. The Gemara says, he didn't have him pass before the Aron. The Chimasofonim Yeshvadovers. Favoritism, he's guilty or not. So they says he did pass in front of the Aron, and Mephibosheth was guilty, but the David prayed for him and he was saved. So if I can't myself on him, the HBW, still favoritism. He's guilty, he's guilty. El Shabikesh Rachim Shalom Yikalteno Aron. He prayed that they should, that he should not be detained by the Aron. Vaksiv lo yumsu aval sabonim, or Mechibar Abram Yochanan, mutov shetaker os achas minatora, ve'al yishale al shem shemayim for hesio. Better one oath should be removed from the Torah than should be chil Hashem. So apparently David was troubled by this very grave chil Hashem that had been caused by Shaul and his sons, and therefore some amends had to be made. Now how do we justify it? Well, first, if you look at number 9 on the back side, it really makes this point. It makes this point. Again, the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah that Afilu osan shenizgaru shelo l'shem shemayim. Even those people convert not necessarily sincerely. Matzinu shetava kadosh baruch hu el banam. You see that God avenges their honor as well, and that's from our case here. Va'osasha, skip down a few lines. Amar David, v'chi b'shvil ha-gerim halalu osa kadosh baruch hu lamo kein. Because of these gerim, God is going to treat his people like this with a famine. Amar l'kadosh baruch hu, yes. In tarchikis or chokim, so chol rachikis akrovin. If you try to distance those who are distant, you'll come to distance those who are near as well. Meaning, mistreatment of foreigners, of strangers, inevitably results in mistreatment of citizens as well. And that's really the story of every dictatorship. You single out one class of society for persecution, eventually either that class is exhausted, or if it's not exhausted, you find others as well to persecute. And it's true in their time, it's true in the time of the Nazis, and it's really true ad hayom. What happened? So in fact, as the Medrash continues, the whole point of Richuk Kirv, what are we talking about? Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. That it would be Chil Hashem if these Gerim, the Givonim, are just wantonly massacred and there's no vengeance. So that called for a special measure, the execution, even extrajudicially, of the sons of Shaul. There's another reason as well. The Medrash continues in number 12. Yutan lanu zayin anashim mibanov v'kanim l'Hashem v'givat shel b'chir Hashem kidei sheyiru kol ha'olam v'yisyaru deterrence. So the world should see, people should see, how the perpetrators of the crimes against, or the family of the perpetrators of the crimes against the Givanim are treated, v'leosifu od l'hara l'geirim, and they won't further persecute geirim, strangers, converts. Because in fact, if the ger is persecuted, the Torah mentions dozens, or several dozen times, not to torment the ger. Because the whole point of Klal Yisrael is to be Orla Goyim. And if the ger who joins us from the outside is persecuted, then it frustrates our entire national purpose. And that, of course, can't be. Thirdly, if you look at number 14 in the Malbim. The Malbim says, it's the top left, Vayomer HaMelech, ani atein, big problem. Ki davar zehu neged mishpat haTorah, she'ein la'harog shnayim b'yom echad. You don't kill two people in one day. He killing seven people in one day. V'lo yumzu banam alavos. You don't kill children for the sins of the fathers. V'chema she'tzalu nivlosam alo eis. They left them hanging on a tree. That you also can't do. V'lo yuchulasus koze rak midin melech. How did David do it? The exigencies of the moment. Extrajudicial, din malchus, the king has the right to do that, even if they themselves were not the perpetrators. And of course, the simplest shot is the Radak in number 13 on Perek Aleph. So first the Radak says, we see the problem of the Givonim, that the Kohanim already forgave the house of Shaul, the other Kohanim. They had no gripe against Shaul's descendants. But these, Heim lo ratzu limcho, the Givonim bore a grudge that could not be assuaged. Umasha Kosov, Yutan Lano Shivasan Hashim Ibanov, Lathisho Nisharmin Ahorgim Elo Elu Hashiva. Many people killed the Givonim, but only these seven survivors remained, and therefore they wanted them to feel the sting of justice. Now, if you look back for a moment, look at Rashi in number 10 on Pasuk Dalad. Ein lono kesef izovim shaul kiim nefashos. We only want lives. A David thought lefaisim b'mamon v'loratzu. They couldn't be bought. They couldn't be bought. Amar shema heim izbaishim zemizah. Halach u'kies kol echavechim. Individually. V'lo nesfaisu. That's why it says, the text actually says, ein li kesef izov. That he went to each one and they said they don't want money. It's interesting, sometimes you could buy people off. You commit a grave crime, a heinous crime against them, and money will satisfy them. But otherwise you can't. People have a real sense of honor, sometimes a destructive sense of honor, but a real sense of honor. They don't fall for that. Like the Arabs, for example, you can't buy them off. The Americans used to say all the time that you're not going to satisfy the Arabs of Israel by giving them indoor plumbing. It's not going to work. They have more national pride than that. And you see, that's the reality. The Givonim couldn't be bought off. Others you can buy off. They couldn't be bought off. There are these four justifications, so to speak, that killing them was a Kiddush Hashem, to undo the Chil Hashem that was extant. It was a deterrent to people, the Jews would know, not to discriminate or torment the Givonim or any Ger anymore. It was din Malchus, special judgment, the Malbim says, or that they, in fact, were the guilty ones, and so they had to be punished. They indeed were executed. The king gave them over, but in fact, it doesn't speak well of the Givonim that they left them hanging on the tree. They wanted, of course, also as part of the deterrence, but that's the un-Jewish trait that David saw in them. First, the fact they wanted blood and not some other form of recompense, and the fact they left them in such a way that they were degraded. And that's what David saw. The Rambam says, when David decreed now that they could never marry Jews, so the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, Perikid Bez, beginning Halacha Chav Bez, the Mishin is Gaya, Mishiva Amomin, Einan Asur, Minatar, Lavavikol, a person who converts from the seven nations, will have to marry a Jew. We know that only the Givonim converted. Yeshua goes to Alayim Shiyu Asur Lavabakol Echad Zichar Echad Nekevos, and Yeshua was goes that they could not marry into with other Jews. V'lo Asar Asam Elav Isman Sheish Mikdash. Only when there was a Mikdash could they not marry. Tola Harcha Kasam B'Mikdash. I'm sorry. B'Zman She when there's a Mikdash they could not. All right. Continuing now Halacha Chokimu. The Hema Nikraim Nisinim. They were called the Nisinim. Lefishin Asanam Lavadas Amikdash. They did work in the Mishkan, the Mikdash. But David Vegazar Alayim Shlo Yikansu Vekola Olam Vafilu Bezmanche Mikdash. David agreed they can never marry a Jew, even when there would not be a base of Mikdash. The Lama Halach of Dalad. The Lama Gazar Alayim Hu Bezdino. Why was he Gozer against them? Lefishara Azuz Nachzarius. He saw a brazenness, a cruelty in them. Shaisa Bohem Be'es Shidbikshu Shivas B'nei Shol B'chir Hashem Litlosom V'haragum V'lorichamu Aleihem. They hanged them, executed them, and had no mercy on them. So David responded by saying that they could not marry into the Jewish people. But it still doesn't sit well with us. The story doesn't sit well. Grant, you can understand why it happened, but something still seems amiss. Something was amiss, and now to avenge the honor of Klal Yisrael, the aggrieved mother comes forward. It's number 15 in Perek Chav Aleph Pasuk Yud. Vatikach Ritzpo Basayos. Remember the scene? They were just left hanging on the hills. Vatikach Ritzpo Basayos Hasak, Ritzpo Basayo, two of whose sons were killed, took a sackcloth. Vatateu lo elatsur, she spread it for herself over a rock. Mitrilas Katsir ad nitach mayim alehem in hashamayim, from the beginning of the harvest until the rain started to come. Velo nasno ova hashamayim lo nuach alehem yomom, eschayas hasude loilo. She did not let birds or animals harm the corpses. She watched over them. So apparently it was a gzera not to take the bodies down, again as deterrence. But she made sure the bodies would not decompose nor be attacked in the fields. David heard what Ritzpah did, and he himself took Musa from it. What Ritzpah did, the Gemara says in 17, again in Yevamos Daf Ein Tes Amud Aleph. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk. But Tikach Ritz Vasayah, she took the sack and she guarded the bodies. Vaksiv lo salimiv lo so'alo eggs. The Torah says you can't leave a body hanging. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shimon Yotzorok Mutov Shetekir Osachas Minatoro V'yiskadei Shem Shem B'Fer Hesio. Better a letter should be missing from the Torah, and a Kiddush Hashem should take place as a result. Shehoyu Over Mishavim Omrim. Passers-by, seeing the bodies hanging from the trees, would say, Mativan shel elu. Who are these people? Why are they hanging? And they would be answered, Halalu b'nei melochem hem. They're princes of Israel. Who me'asu, what do? Kashtu yedehem begeirim gerurim. They harmed bedraggled converts. Amru, they said, Ein lecha umo she'ru'uya li'davek ba'kazu. There's no nation that's worthier to join than the Jewish people. Uma b'nei melochim kach. If this is how they treat princes who harm the lowest element in society, b'nei hedyotos alachas kam v'kama. What must it be like to be a hedyot, a layman in Israel? Ritzv Basaya produced the Kiddush Hashem by protecting the bodies from desecration. So people should know that Jews care for Gaelic. Gemara continues, Niyad mitosu al Yisrael me'ova chamishim elef. Immediately, 150,000 Gerim joined the Jewish people. 150,000 Gerim joined the Jewish people because they saw this is what it means to be part of a Jewish world. This is what it means to be Or Lagoyim. Now, David is spurred by Ritzvah Bas Ayah to do the right thing himself. So we continue in number 15, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayugad leDavid, Eis Asher Astar Ritzpav Asayapi Lega Shaul. David heard what she did. Vayelach David, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayikach Es Atzmo Shaul. Es Atzmo Yonason Beno. He took the bones of Shaul and Yehonason, Meis Balei Yavesh Gilad, from those in Yavesh Gilad who had taken them. Asher Ganvu Asam Erechov Beit Shan, Asher Tlaum Shama Plishtim, Yamakos Plishtim Es Shaul Bagilboa, where they were hanged by the Plishtim, when the Plishtim killed them in Har Gilboa. Vayal Misham Es Atzmo Shaul, Ves Atzmo Sion Asam Beno, David took their bones, Ve'asus atzmos hamukaim, and he took as well the bones of those who were just hanged. Ve'ikvirus atzmos shovi anasam beno be'eretz binyamin b'tzeila. The kever kishaviv, he brought them back to kever avos, where Shaul's father Kish was buried. Ve'asu kol asher tziva hamelech, and they did everything the king commanded. That's what they did. Ve'aser Elohim la'aretz achreicha, and the God listened to the prayers. By the way, when did the rain start falling? Ritzel Basaya, that's what the Pasuk says. She stayed there, stayed next to the bodies, Mitchilas Katsir Ad Mitach Mayim Aleihem Min Hashamayim, until water came down from heaven, until the rain started to fall. That what meant the drought was over, the famine was over. That meant that the heinous crime of Shaul and his family had been undone. David was spurred by Ritzel Basaya, in fact, to produce a Kiddush Hashem as well. Chazal say he then gave Shaul and Yonasan a proper eulogy as he was eulogizing the other Bnei Shaul. Vayaser Elokim la'aretz achreichem. And God then listened to the entreaties of Klal Yisrael after that, because God responds to Tzilos. What do we see from here? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael? Kiddush Hashem. In a word, Kiddush Hashem, that God's name should be sanctified. Sometimes directly, as the most positive case, where we live virtuous lives and people see it in us, and sometimes, as in this strange episode, indirectly it comes about, but that is the goal. That's how we define success. That's how we're zoche tarachame shamayim, and to the birchas haTorah, to zoche all the promises that God makes of him, b'chukosai teleich, if we follow his statutes, we follow the halacha, we're proper Jews, proper servants of God, then in fact what happens is that v'shaftim lo vetach barzachem, ours is security, ours is prosperity, v'lecheschem kol miyus, ours as well is pride in the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Okay, thank you very much.